Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is the Psalm of the day, which is Psalm 133 combined with Psalm 134. We read, A Song of the Ascents by David. Look how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew from Hermon, running down on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands this blessing, life to eternity. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord at night. Lift up your hands toward the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. This is our text. Dear people of God, if I have learned anything during this pandemic, it is that I know nothing. I would have bet you any amount of money that they would not have canceled the March Madness basketball tournament. When they did that, they gave up $1 billion. A billion. Nobody gives up $1 billion. I had much more faith in the greediness of man. I truly know nothing about this world. I did not give the Apostle Paul enough credit when he wrote to the Corinthians, For I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's really all you can count on in this world. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And here in the Psalms, King David wants to talk today about, wouldn't it be nice if we had unity? Unity. Things have never been more divided in this world. We're told that this coming election in November is the most important election in our lives. Now, I first voted in 1988, and I've heard that line ever since that day. But maybe they're right. Maybe this is the most important election of all time. Things are crazy divided. But again, I no longer pretend to know who is right and who is wrong in this world. Whether it's the conservative or the liberal, the business class or the Green Party, the white or the black, the fearful or the confident, I have no idea. I know I'm going to stay out of it. The church is supposed to be apolitical. That means not political, not involved in that arena. We are to stay completely out of it, for there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven, and there's the kingdom of earth. And we have to live in the kingdom of this world for a while, but the Apostle Paul told us that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So you vote for whoever you want to vote for. I don't care. It is literally none of my business. My business is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus risen from the dead. He did that for all. For Jew and for Greek. For white and for black. For Republican and Democrat. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for all. Unity. Our nation has been united in the past. You remember when? We were united when we were fighting another nation. It seems that sinful mankind has to fight somebody. And if we can't fight other people, well, we'll fight each other. We're still in the world. And it would be nice if things got better. And People have solutions for making things better, but I don't know if any of them sound any good. The Lord Jesus told us that things in this world just get worse. Ever since Eve convinced Adam to eat that forbidden fruit, there's been nothing but sin upon sin upon sin in this world. Jesus said of our time, many will fall away from the faith. They will betray each other and hate each other. Because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. Do you remember before all this stuff happened? Remember how education and technology were going to save the human race? Well, how have those promises turned out? Unity. David wants to talk about unity. All right, I'll bite. Tell me, King David, how can we possibly be unified? Well, David talks about a unity from the Lord. Unity only works when people get out of the way. We can only be unified if a person says, I'm not going to insist upon my way. The unity of the Lord can only rest on his people when they're willing to say, I'm going to put myself aside and serve you. Notice, there's none of that in the world today. There is no, please excuse me. There is no, I'm sorry. There is no, I was wrong. How can I help? No, all we hear is, this is what I think, and you're wrong. Who is truly blessed with unity, David? Servants of the Lord who stand in the house of the Lord at night. They are truly blessed. Because what are they doing? These servants of the Lord are listening to the Lord. They're not giving their opinion to the Lord. They're not saying, Lord, you know, I think you should do your worship this way. No, they're listening and they're serving. That's how we can have unity. If everyone listened to the Lord and served his neighbor. Wouldn't that be nice? David says, it would be like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. Now what the heck is that all about? Well, you have to picture Aaron, Moses' brother, who was the first high priest of Israel, and therefore he's representative of all the high priests of Israel. Aaron wore a white tunic, a white robe, with a breastplate over top of it that was bejeweled with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. That means it was heavy. Aaron lived, for the most part, out in the wilderness as they wandered for 40 years. Out in the wilderness, there was heat and wind and sand, and they had no showers. There was no running water for a bath. Well, they could run down into the creek during the rainy season, but for the most part, the Israelites could only hope for an oil cleaning. Now, an oil cleaning is when they took olive oil and poured it on their heads, and it ran down through all their hair and through their beards. And then they took a comb and they combed out all the sand and the junk that was in their hair. The oil would go on the skin, then it would cool the skin and soothe it and moisturize it and give them a little bit of relief. That's the best they could hope for. And that picture doesn't translate into our language at all. If this was written in our day, maybe it would go something like this. How pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like walking out of a 90-degree day into an air-conditioned home. Isn't that nice? When it's really hot and the heat is literally pushing you down and you can feel the heat coming through the asphalt, through your shoes, into your feet, and then you walk into that house, air conditioning. Isn't that nice? David says again, it's like the dew from Hermon running down on the mountains of Zion. Those are two of the hills of Jerusalem, one apparently above the other, so the water trickles from one to the other, giving it a drink and some relief. Just what was needed. See, unity is a result. Unity is a byproduct. It's a consequence. You can't force it. Unity has to come naturally. It has to come later. Like art. Art is a byproduct of a society. No society has ever been based on art. In order to have a society, you first must have military strength, you must have rules, you must have an infrastructure, you must have agreement of government. And then, if there's enough time and money and energy left, then a society can develop an art. Kind of like today. Who in our day is worried about professional dancers? Nobody. We are much more concerned about safety and security and jobs and paying the rent. Only after you have all that stuff can a person even begin to think, yeah, let's go watch somebody prance around in their tights. Unity comes later. Unity is a byproduct. First, you must have repentance. I was wrong. I'm sorry. God have mercy on me, a sinner. Then you must have faith. I believe that God does forgive me in Jesus Christ, his own Son. Then you must have fellowship. Oh, you also believe that Jesus is your only Savior from sin. You also believe that the Word of God is the inerrant, inspired Word from the Lord himself. Let's worship him together. Only then, and if we're not too stubborn to insist on our own way even in the church, then we could possibly have some unity in Christ. It really is just another reminder that we're not in heaven yet. I often think about our dear members who are in heaven. How fortunate they are. Their ends, for the most part, were difficult, but it was so worth it because they are now in glory. They are now in paradise. They are with Jesus and all the saints. And they don't have to deal with all this junk that we're dealing with. How blessed they are. And then I think about all the people who are left. So many people who live in this world now that are afraid to meet Jesus. And I'm not talking about the heathen. I'm talking about our own members who are afraid to meet their Maker. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of judgment? Or are you afraid that something's going to happen to your family when you're gone? Dear people of God, trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He chose you and he loves you. He died for you and he lives for you. Trust the Lord. Keep going. Keep going with your eyes focused on Jesus as we walk together through this crazy world in the unity of the Scriptures. The Lord will bring you to his side in his own time. Trust him. Don't give up. Don't take the situation into your own hands. Trust the Lord. Hold up his cross in front of this lost world. And help offer this salvation in Jesus' name to all. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.